I am a geek when it comes to Hebrew poetry. So I probably don't know if any Hebrew poetry geek. When I studied Hebrew in seminary and I came to Psalms and started to learn poetry, I thought it was amazing. So I hope to not bore you with Hebrew poetry, grammar, and symbolism, and parallelism, and all that stuff, but we might get into it a little bit. But hopefully Psalm 121 will be as helpful to you as it has been to me. Psalm 121 is part of a series of psalms called the Psalm of Ascents. I see you all writing that down. That's very good, right? The Psalms of Ascents were sung as the Jewish people would make their pilgrimages to Jerusalem at least three times a year. They are songs that would be sung as they would travel there in anticipation for feasts and celebrations that they were going to have in their city, okay? And so they would be on, this would be on their hearts, this would be on their minds, this is what they would be singing and thinking and praying as they're traveling to their temple, okay? This is rooted deep within the Jewish people. And so if you were to read, starting in Psalm 120, and you would read through Psalm 132, you would see the Psalms of Ascents, and you would get a feeling for the heart of the Jewish people through these different psalms. We find ourselves in Psalm 121 this morning. And so, how many of you guys have a cell phone? Yes? Cell phones are fun. They're super important sometimes, right? How many of you guys ever use the maps feature, right? Okay, I've been here dozens of times, but I still use the map feature this morning, mainly to make sure I was going to be here on time, right? So that's super important. Even when I find myself going home from a city, Lincoln, Omaha, Grand Island, sometimes I'll use the map feature. I know how to get home. It's not hard for me to get home, but sometimes I will turn on the map feature because I want to make sure I'm going to take the best route home. Like if there's traffic, if there's an accident, I know that my map feature is going to redirect me. It's going to reroute me around traffic. So I'm putting my trust in a piece of technology, into this phone, into the GPS coordinates of this phone, right? Travelers in biblical times, they didn't have their map feature on their phones because they didn't have phones. But what travelers would do and what they would put their trust in is they would look to the hills. And so we're going to read through Psalm 121 real quick, and you're going to see what they're talking about as we read verse 1. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. So you have a bunch of people looking to the hills for their help. Now, in pagan religions, right, and you have to remember, the nation of Israel is centered in the middle of a bunch of different pagan cultures and pagan religions. In pagan religions, to look to the hills would mean evil, danger. It could mean a number of different things, but for the Israelites, for the Jewish people, to look to the hills would be a place where they could meet their God. You see, God met with people on mountains. If you read through Scripture, you would know that one of the places that God often met with his people was on mountains. I think of where Moses met with God, on a mountain, right? Think of where Jesus shows up in his when he's transfigured. It's on a mountain. You could read through Scripture and you would see God meeting people on mountains. And so for the Jewish people, the Israelites, to look to the hills, it's they're looking for safety. And as they're looking for safety, they want to find something in the security that they're going to be looking towards. So lifting their eyes, they're looking at something longingly with desire. It's not with dread. Now, some of you may have tests, I don't know, if midterms or finals come up and you start to dread those things. That's not what he's talking about. Like you see that date on a calendar, you're not dreading that. It's almost as if like when I was getting married, right? I looked at that date with anticipation, longingly. I was excited for it, right? And so these mountains of Zion, they're creating this emphatic confession that Yahweh is present with his people. And that's what they're looking forward to. Now remember, they're singing these songs as they're going to Jerusalem. They're anticipating meeting with their God once they get there. Now he says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now here's where we're going to get a little bit of Hebrew nerdiness. That word help is ezer. It's a great word in the Hebrew Bible. That word is better understood as being able to deliver or to save. It's to do something for someone that they're not able to do themselves. And for a nation that would be constantly under attack, under a barrage of all these different cultures and pagan people, right? To look to the hills when they're under attack, when everyone is coming in against them, they're looking for that sort of safety and security. And they can only get it from their God. Their help, their safety, their security, their salvation comes from the Lord, right? Now, the hazards of travel look different today than they did back then. When they would travel back then, they didn't have to worry about diseases or disaster or terrorists, but they did have to worry about bandits and wild animals. I was driving here this morning, and I don't know if anybody passed a dead raccoon on the road, right? Yeah, you see that? A bunch of people going around that, right? We're not worried about that dead raccoon, okay? But things are different back then than they were today. You see, for them, it was easy to affirm their God as the creator. And it may be easy for us, as Jesus followers, if you're a Jesus follower here, to say, yes, God is my creator, and he is my savior and my redeemer. But a lot of times, we live worried lives, don't we? Like, functionally, the way we live a worried life. We worry about all these different things. Like, we worry about our future. We may worry about our friendships, our family. We may worry about whatever's coming the next day, the things that we can't control. Like in moments of crisis, we need to actually experience our theology. Like, for these travelers, it doesn't mean they're not going to stub their toe. It doesn't mean they're not going to get injured, suffer, or even die. You see, when they're singing this song, it's reminding them that God's purpose is not going to be overthrown. God's purpose is not going to be thwarted. And so my question for you is, where do we turn for help? When you need help, when you get stuck, where do you turn to? A lot of times, I just Google it. Anybody? Right? I get stuck, I just Google it, return to YouTube, right? Had to change a tail light on my pickup. I don't know how to do that. Just go to YouTube. YouTube tells me what to do. It's awesome, right? Maybe when you get older, and you have a job, and you get stuck, or you need something, you might turn to your bank account. Or if you're a farmer, a baling wire and pliers can fix anything, right? But ultimately, we just turn to ourselves. You see, the idea here is we don't turn to self when we look for help. We turn to the Lord in all situations. Even in the things we think we can control, even in the areas we think that we have under our care, we still turn to the Lord for help. Why do we do that? Because we can trust in his care. And that's where verses 3 through 8 really come in. Like, the dominant theme here is trusting in the watcher. And that's the overarching theme of these last verses, 3 through 8, is trusting in the watcher. It's a response to the declaration the psalmist makes in verses 1 through 2. And in these few verses here, 3 through 8, you have this Hebrew verb, shamar. And it's found 6 times in 6 verses. Now, if you're going to repeat something 6 times in 6 verses, it's pretty important, right? Like, I have kids, and the more I repeat myself to them, it's the more I'm trying to get a point across to them, okay? And so for this word shamar to be repeated, it means to keep, protect, watch over, to repeat it 6 times. It's as if the psalmist who writes this and then the people who sing this need to be constantly reminded of who their God is and what he's capable of doing. And so here's what I want you to understand. In verses 3 through 4, we see that his care is constant. You see, the watchful care of God is not passive observation. He's not just noticing you. He's involved in your life. He's watching over you by provision and protection. You see, this verb, shamar, here appears as a participle, okay? And maybe you don't know what a participle is, and that's okay. But what it does is it becomes a title. He is the caring God. He is the watcher of Israel. And so it may feel sometimes like our faith is weak or weakening, our hope is decreasing, but you have to remember the Lord has his grip on his people. That's what John 10:29 tells us, right? Like we are placed in the palm of Jesus' hand, and then the Father, who is greater than all, he puts his hand over the hand of Jesus, and no one can take his people away from him. Like Ephesians tells us that Jesus' followers are sealed by the Spirit. It's like you have a mark placed on you that God says, you're mine, and no one else can have you. It's the same idea here. The Lord has his grip on his people. So that allows us then to cast our burdens on him, knowing that he cares for us. We can trust him. But as the watcher of Israel, and as your watcher and as my watcher, his protection for us never ceases. He never goes to sleep. He never goes to sleep. Now, I've said this a couple times, but Israel is found in the midst of pagan cultures and pagan religions. And they had their own stories. They had their own gods that they worshipped, right? Two stories that were pretty prominent in those days. One was called the Atrahasis Epic. And you're like, I don't even know what that is. That's okay. But in the Atrahasis Epic, there was a deity named Enlil, okay? And Enlil, he liked to go to sleep. He's a god who sleeps, right? It's not a very good god, if you ask me, okay? But he was awakened from his slumber because humans make too much noise. And he didn't like that, right? And he demanded that they be cut off from food. This is not the type of God I'd want to serve, right? That culture is no good for me, okay? This is the culture they're surrounded by. Another story that they were surrounded by is the Enuma Elish. And their god, Apsu, right? He complains about lack of sleep because of the noise made by his human offspring. You see, all of these other deities sleep, and all of these other religions around Israel. And what sets Yahweh apart from everyone is he doesn't sleep because he doesn't need to. His constant care is always over you. I was a security guard a few times at a campground, right? And so as a security guard, mind you, I was like 15 years old, all right? So, you know, I was a big deal. And as a big deal, my security guard, I carried this, not this flashlight, but a flashlight pretty similar, right? So if anyone broke into our campground, I'd shine the light on them. And then this is a mag light. Mag lights are filled with D batteries, so it's really heavy. Like, you could beat people with this, right? So that was my job, okay? Now, security guards at night are supposed to stay awake all night. I'm 15 years old, right? Okay? Probably not the guy you want to put in charge of watching over your campground at night, okay? And I might have fallen asleep a couple times. Now, this is long before campgrounds had high-tech security cameras and all that, but people are going to fail. Security cameras are going to glitch, right? But the watchful eye of the Lord is never going to fail, right? The watcher of Israel, he never dozes off. He never sleeps. He remains attentive, and he continues to keep watchful care over his people. And so if you ever feel unseen, if you ever feel forgotten, God is awake, and he's watching over you, and he's caring for you. Our God never checks out. His care is constant, but his care is also comforting. Verses 5 and 6, they tell us the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He shades and protects us. You know, another thing that I like to use often are umbrellas, right? Anybody like umbrellas? Umbrellas are great, okay? Because when it's rainy, you just pop open the umbrella, and then you don't get wet, right? But when it's sunny, you can pop open the umbrella, and what? What?
Shade,
thank you, right? It's okay to talk, right? I'm not scary. Maybe I am, right? Okay? That's what the Lord does. He acts as protection, and he acts as shade. Just like the umbrella shades you from the burning sun and protects you from the heavy rain, God stands at our right hand like that. He's providing protection and comfort. And you and I, we need that sort of comfort. Like, have you ever been worried about your surroundings? What's going on around you? You don't feel like you're in control? Or have you ever been asleep at night and been awakened, only to toss and turn with fear entering your mind and your heart? A number of years ago, I took my son on a trip. We stayed in a hotel, and we had a blast, right? We came back, and we brought some visitors home called bed bugs, right? It's awesome. No, it's not. And so after we disposed of the bed bugs, right, I felt like I still had bugs crawling over me for a number of weeks and maybe even months, okay? I couldn't sleep at night. And this was one of the Psalms that I committed to memory to remind me that I needed to calm my heart, calm my mind. We should always have a friend or an ally at our side to provide protection, and that we can't get anyone greater than the Lord. And so Israel has the image of God standing at their right hand. The psalmist has this image of the Lord fending off potential threats found elsewhere in the Psalter, right? Psalm 16, Psalm 109, Psalm 110. The Lord loves to come to the aid of his people. Like, he's just waiting for us to ask him, will you come and help? Will you be my Ezer? Will you be my helper? Will you provide the rescue that I cannot provide for myself? In fact, individuals are frequently invited under the shadow of the Lord's wings. And it's in that space we find relief from the forces that threaten us. You see, the Babylonians, they attributed, to the moon god. They had a moon god, right? And remember, Babylonians all around them. The moon god She, they attributed to him a number of illnesses, including fever and leprosy. And so by the time of the New Testament, there remains this connection between illness and the effects of the moon. Now, I don't know about you, but my kids get a little bit crazy during a full moon, right? My dad always told me that the crazies come out during a full moon. I don't know if it's true or not, right? But here you have references to the sun and the moon. And the psalmist, they may be referring to these other deities that these other religions are worshiping. And what's the psalmist saying? Like, the Lord is greater than those things. You may have a sun god, you may have a moon god, but the Lord, he is Lord over all things. There is nothing that he can't handle that comes against you. Any attack that comes your way, you will be protected from. You will be provided for. His care is all-encompassing. The psalmist is acknowledging that God stands as the protective shadow over all of life. And so for us, when anxiety hits, it's not if, when anxiety hits, whether it's during the day or at night, when the pressure on your life feels overwhelming, the pressure to perform in the athletic realm, in the academic realm, on the job, from your parents, wherever that pressure feels overwhelming. Remember, God promises his presence as shade and protection. But God's care is also comprehensive. It points to the future. It's all-encompassing. It talks about your coming and your going, right? It's talking about his transcendence, his aboveness, how he's above all of his creation, right? His supremacy over all things. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take a vacation, right? So whether you're starting a new grade, heading into a new sports season, thinking about your future, God's protection goes with you wherever you go. And so what does this mean for us? This psalm helps us to remember that we have the Lord's protection, his provision. We have his constant care as the watcher with us, no matter what. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what storm we find ourselves in. Think about a ship on the sea. A ship can't avoid a storm, but it can stay secure in that storm. It stays secure by being anchored. Like, all the water in the ocean cannot sink a ship unless that water gets in. And all the trouble in the world cannot harm us unless it gets inside. And the Lord serves as our protector in these moments. And that's the promise of this psalm. God guards us. He protects us from the fierce attacks of the outside, from the thoughts that try to penetrate us, from the whispers of the enemy. God is there as our protector. Nothing can separate us from God's protection. Nothing. As Jesus followers, we have our security in the protection, in the love of God because of what Jesus has done for us. And so our feelings, right? Sometimes we feel as if God's care isn't constant or comforting or comprehensive. Sometimes we feel as if God isn't there or if he doesn't care. But the truth of his word is the anchor. And Jesus himself is the anchor for our souls. Psalm 121 reminds us, no matter where we go, God is the helper who watches, protects, and keeps his people. And our anchor isn't how we feel, but in the fact of who God is and who he has shown himself to be throughout all of history. He's the watcher of his people then, and he's the watcher of his people now. He's never taken a day off. He's never needed a nap. He's never fallen asleep. And so what do we do when it doesn't feel like his care is constant, comforting, or comprehensive? You have to distinguish fact from feeling. Our brains are going to rebel because our reality is broken. But we have to let God's word define our reality. And this psalm helps us define what's really going on. But we also have to find community. We have to find a group of people who are going to keep us pointed in the right direction. Because we're bent towards shutting people out, to isolate ourselves. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Now, remember, this is a group of people who are traveling together toward Jerusalem, singing this psalm. No doubt they are encouraging one another. And when times get dark, you need people around you to encourage you. God sees you, and he's with you. He's protecting you. We can't get upside down in our thoughts and our feelings. We need other people who care about us, who love us, who are pointing us toward Jesus to help us grab on to this anchor of truth. That God is the watcher then, and he's the watcher now. I think that's the truth that Psalm 21 can communicate to us. And it's the hope that we have because of what Jesus has done and brought us into relationship with the watcher. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you that it goes so far back into history and it extends the rest of time. That it tells us who you are. It tells us what you've done, it tells us what you're doing, and it tells you what you will continue to do for your people. And so I pray that in the moments when we feel this darkness closing in, when we feel as if you're not there, this truth, this text will be an anchor for our souls. That it's something we can return to and be reminded of who you are in those moments. And that you're there, and you love us, and you want to be with us. So we're going to commit this to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, guys.